Jimmy's father showed up and stood in the corner of the kitchen looking mad and distracted, his eyes watery, weaving a bit as if the wall kept moving behind him. He didn't speak to Sean's father, and no one spoke to him. With his usual capacity for sudden movement muted, he seemed smaller to Sean. Less real, somehow, like if Sean looked away, he'd look back to find him dissolved into the wallpaper. After they'd gone over it 4 or 5 times, everyone left. The cops, the guy who'd drawn on the pad, Jimmy and his father. Sean's mother went into her bedroom and shut the door, and Sean could hear muffled crying a few minutes later. He sat out on the porch, and his father told him he hadn't done anything wrong, that he and Jimmy were smart not to have gotten in that car. His father patted his knee and said things would turn out fine. Dave will be home tonight. You'll see. His father shut up then. He sipped his beer and sat with Sean, but Sean could feel he'd drifted away on him. Was maybe in the back bedroom with Sean's mother, or down in the cellar, building his birdhouses. Sean looked up the street at the rows of cars, the shiny glint of them. He told himself that this, all of this, was part of some plan that made sense. He just couldn't see it yet. He would someday, though. The adrenaline that had been rushing through his body since Dave had been driven away and he and Jimmy had rolled on the street fighting finally flushed out through his pores like waste. He saw the place where he, Jimmy, and Dave Boyle had fought by the Bel Air, and he waited for the new hollow spaces formed as the adrenaline had left his body to fill back in. He waited for the plan to reform and make sense. He waited and watched the street and felt its hum and waited some more until his father stood up and they went back inside. Jimmy walked back to the flats behind the old man. The old man weaved slightly and smoked his cigarettes down to pinched ends and talked to himself under his breath. When they got home, his father might give him a beating. Might not. It was too close to tell. After he'd lost his job, he'd told Jimmy never to go to the Devine's house again, and Jimmy figured he'd have to pay up for breaking that rule. But maybe not today. His father had that sleepy drunkenness about him, the kind that usually meant he would sit at the kitchen table when they got home and drink until he fell asleep with his head on his arms. Jimmy kept a few steps behind him just in case, though, and tossed the ball up into the air. Caught it in the baseball glove he'd stolen from Sean's house while the cops had been saying their goodbyes to the Devines, and nobody had even said a word to Jimmy and his father as they had headed down the hallway toward the front door. Sean's bedroom door had been open, and Jimmy'd seen the glove lying there on the floor, ball wrapped inside, and he'd reached in and picked it up. And then he and his father were through the front door. He had no idea why he'd stolen the glove. It wasn't for the wink of surprised pride he'd seen in the old man's eyes when he'd picked it up. Fuck that. Fuck him. It had something to do with Sean hitting Dave Boyle and pussying out on stealing the car and some other things over the year they'd been friends. That feeling Jimmy got that whatever Sean gave him, baseball cards, half a candy bar, whatever, came in the form of a handout. When Jimmy had first picked up the glove and walked away with it, he'd felt elated. He'd felt great. A little later, as they were crossing Buckingham Avenue, he'd felt that familiar shame and embarrassment that came whenever he stole something, an anger at whatever or whoever made him do these things. Then a little later, as they walked down Crescent and into the flats, he felt a stab of pride as he looked at the shitty three-deckers and then the glove in his hand. Jimmy took the glove, and he felt bad about it. Sean would miss it. Jimmy took the glove, and he felt good about it. Sean would miss it.